My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm having victory over being abusive and learning to be content. Our lesson tonight is on sanity. So there should be a principle and a step that we are going to read together. So let's read this principle together out loud. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Right after that bike crash, September 1st, my wife wanted to take my two road bikes and throw them into the river because I had experienced trauma and it affected her. She cares for me, she loves for me, but she didn't want me to go out and repeat the same thing and get the same result, you know, another crash. Previous bike crashes, I've been able to just shrug it off and ride home. But September 1st, the ambulance took me to OHSU because I was in no shape to ride. So that was her first response. Don't do that same thing because you are going to kill yourself. So fast forward to 10 days ago. I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? I think I want to go out on the road on my bike again. And she said, are you crazy? Are you insane? You know, what are you going to do differently to not kill yourself? So I told her a couple things. Number one, I'm not going to eat a banana while I'm pedaling my bike. If I want my banana, I'm going to stop. And number two, I don't have to ride with the fastest group on Saturday. I can ride with a slower group that should be safer. So those were some changes I made so that I wouldn't repeat the same crash. So 10 days in a row, accident free. Let's see how we can do on that. From my past, I took my first drink of wine in 1980. At a company party. And for my first encounter with wine, I got smashed. And I got funny. And people liked me. And so I kept drinking. So for a couple of years, from 1980 to 1982, I drank 6 to 7 nights a week. And I always got blotto. I was stuck in a cycle of, I want this feeling of being accepted. But then I had to pay for all this booze, and I had to have that horrible headache the next day, you know, to overcome that. But it was just craziness. And so for 2 years, just raging alcoholic, not very stable, because I was doing the same thing over and over again. From 83 to 89, I tried to be a social drinker. And then in 89, I just said, you know what? It's so much easier just to say my line is, I'm going to be sober. I'm not going to drink anymore. So in 89, that was when I took my last drink. And it was just because I made a decision, you know, for my life, I don't want to be out of control. I don't want to harm others. I drove so many times, smashed, I don't even know why I'm alive. But if I just make that line zero, I'll never get out of control. And so that's what I've done. Sober since 89. In 2013, that's just 5 years ago, I looked at myself on my birthday in the mirror, and I was 205 pounds. I didn't like what I saw. So the next day, August 29th, I got on my bicycle and went 10 miles. And then I keep doing that several times a week. And it took me 12 months. But after 12 months, I dropped down to 170, which I've been ever since. So I had to change my schedule. I had to do something different to be fit again. It was my decision. My wife had been telling me for years, you know, it's what you eat, so eat the good stuff. If it can go bad, it's probably good for you. Get sleep and do some exercise. So I finally followed her advice, had to change my habit, and now I've got a new habit. Once I found out what my, you know, my character defect was. Another character defect I had growing up was I had to win every single argument. So winning an argument at all costs was burned into my brain. And this is a character defect because if you want to win every argument at any costs, you can shame people, you can bully them, you can raise your voice, and you can get physically aggressive. So I got abusive. I got physically abusive. In 2004, I assaulted one of my sons to stop an argument. Police came to my home and they were ready to see if charges were going to be pressed. But for some reason, my wife had mercy and no charges were pressed. But within 18 months, I was kicked out of the house with a restraining order because my behavior, my aggressiveness, and my attitude was scaring my wife. But at CR, I learned that when you offend somebody and they kick you out of the house, you have to make amends. So I started making amends. I did something different. I did what CR said. CR says if you offend somebody, go make amends to them. I didn't really know how to make amends, so I had to ask my sponsor, how should I make amends? And he gave me a list of things to consider, and I followed the list. So I broke the insanity of doing the same thing, expecting different results, by changing my behavior. So I'm trying to find my favorite quote here about insanity. So if you're in recovery long enough, you'll hear insanity being defined. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So for years when I was drinking, I thought, well, I'll just take one drink and I'll stop. And after one drink, I thought, well, the buzz hasn't kicked in. I'll take another drink. So I was on this slippery slope until I was smashed and, you know, couldn't stand up or walk or talk. So that was insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, putting myself in the same temptation, expecting I was going to get different results. It just doesn't work. So sanity, on the other hand, which is what we're studying tonight, is having wholeness of mind and making decisions based on the truth. Wholeness of mind, making decisions based on the truth. Okay, sounds reasonable. So what is the truth then? So in the Bible, it's got some help for us. And it says in John 14:6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So here we have a man, also God, claiming that he is the way and that what he says is truth. And here, you know, at CR, it's a 12-step program. It works with Christians. Even if you're not a Christian, you're going to find some benefit. You'll be invited to become a Christian and start your spiritual journey that way. We're not going to force you to it, but we're going to help you along that path. And Jesus is our higher power here. In the book of Acts, we also read, salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. So let's start on our acrostic. It's sanity. So the first letter is S, and strength is our first fill in the blank. So in my own life, I gave you several examples of where I used my own thinking and my own power to change, but it didn't really work out so well. So as a Christian, I've learned to call on my higher power to say, look, I think I have this character defect. I need your help to change my thinking, to change my behavior, to change my attitude. Because my own thinking, I'm not able to change myself. So I go to my higher power. I go to Jesus every single day. First thing in the morning, I'm praying. Last thing at night, I'm praying. And then throughout the day, I'm asking him for help and direction and guidance. And I'm trying to use his strength and his wisdom to guide my decisions, not my default thinking. So in Psalms, even in the Old Testament, we read a lot of hope about strength. And in Psalm 46, 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge and strength and our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. So we're using the whole counsel of God, Old Testament, New Testament. It's all good for us. The next letter in our acrostic is A for acceptance. And there's a Bible verse about acceptance. And it's in a letter of Paul to the Romans, Romans 15:7. Accept one another then for the glory of God as Christ has accepted you. Accept one another then for the glory of God as Christ has accepted you. We can be our own worst critic. You know that. So the little voice in our head can tell us, you know, you've set this goal. Maybe it's sobriety. One of my goals was to go 24 hours without speaking one negative word against another person. Because one of my character defects was critical spirit. So you have to set a goal for yourself. If you have a critical spirit, what's your goal going to be? Well, I want to go 24 hours without being critical of some other person. So with God's help, this is possible. But it's not natural. Change is possible, but it's not going to be natural. And you have to accept that you're going to have to set a goal that's realistic and then have accountability to help you meet that and come to small group to share how you are doing against your goal. Maybe even go to a step study. The next acrostic letter is N, insanity. N is for new life. So change is possible, a new you is possible, but it won't be easy. I mean, you could be home partying tonight, but you set a priority to get better. So you came to a recovery meeting. So you're serious about recovery, I can tell that. And you want something new out of life. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians 1, 8, and 9, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. So you're going to have hardship on your recovery path. You're going to have temptation come back to you. You're going to have old habits trying to come back to you. The enemy is going to be working overtime, trying to sabotage your recovery journey. He doesn't want you to have a new life. He wants you to be bound to your old patterns and your old habits. So there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's not going to be easy to get to your new life. That's why you're here at a recovery meeting. You're doing something positive with your time. You're filling your mind with the truth. You're filling yourself with people that can encourage you and equip you. You're taking these little steps in your new life that are going to be new habits, and it's going to pay dividends. Also in Corinthians, it talked about despair. You know, when I got that restraining order, I was away from my wife and children, my family, for 15 months, and it was horrible. It was the worst experience of my life. So at night, I would say, God, could you just take me tonight? Just make me not wake up. Just take me in my sleep. I just don't want, you know, to wake up another day being separated from my family. It's just so hard. It's so difficult. You know, I've made such a big mistake. I had despair, but I didn't live in despair. So despair visited me, but it was for a time. You know, I started doing amends. I started to see progress. I started to see change. I didn't give up. You know, my new life was out there, and I didn't give up on it. I kept coming back. So I've been home now for 12 years and fight free. I haven't swung at anybody, and no one has swung at me, and I haven't used physical power to win an argument. So that, you know, 12 years of sobriety, I think that's good. Our next letter in the acrostic is I for integrity. So if you're in recovery, maybe you've told a fib or a lie, or you had to cover up some bad behavior, something you weren't proud of. Integrity is telling the truth. And in the third book of John, it says, "Nothing gives me greater joy than to hear that my children are following the way of truth." We go to small groups, and we can tell the brutal, honest truth because it's a safe place. If you don't feel that safe in group, find an accountability partner that you feel safe with. Find a sponsor that you feel safe with. And just tell them where you're really at, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That will grow your integrity. You can regain integrity if you've lost it. So at CR, we're all about progress, not perfection. One of my character defects was sarcasm, and I learned it at an early age from my dad. And when I came into CR, I discovered that sarcasm is sinful. Because what I'm doing with sarcasm is I'm putting somebody else down, making me look better, and, you know, it's calling them a name, maybe getting a laugh out of it, because sarcasm is partially funny. But someone is being harmed. Somebody is the butt of the joke in the sarcasm. And so the antidote that I discovered in Scripture was words of affirmation. So now I try to find somebody doing something right, and I try to tell them, thank you for doing that. So Paul and Maggie did worship tonight. Thank you for doing worship tonight. That was a good thing that you did. So that's just an example of understanding what your character defect is, accepting from God an antidote, and then acting on it. So if I'm giving words of affirmation and saying, attaboy, job well done, I'm squelching that critical spirit, and I'm not exercising that critical spirit anymore. But it's a daily decision. Every day I get up, my default thinking is sarcasm. But then I go, nope. That's not godly. That's putting other people down. It's not the right thing. Don't do the crazy cycle. Don't fall into that trap again. Next fill in the blank is T for trust. You know, when I first got to CR, I didn't want to be here. I was embarrassed. I didn't like the 12 steps. I didn't like the verses that went with the 12 steps. I didn't like the leaders. I didn't like small group. I didn't like the whole process. So I came with a scowl on my face, but I came because my wife gave me an ultimatum. You know, go there or the marriage is over. So for the first 12, 18 months, there wasn't much progress because I was fighting it. I was fighting it. But gradually, I had to come to trust in the Lord. Especially when I was kicked out of the house and had a lot more time on my hands to think, maybe it was my behavior that got me kicked out of the house. Maybe it was me that was out of control and not my wife being dramatic. Maybe I had a part to play. So once I found out that I had character defects and that it was my fault, then recovery could start to work. In Proverbs 29:25, it says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. A person of integrity and courage is not afraid to tell the truth." So we're all here for different reasons. Maybe you've been harmed by somebody else. Maybe you need to forgive. You know, Saturday, our country saw a really horrible example in Pittsburgh of a man that had unresolved conflict with Jewish people. And that conflict turned into hatred. That hatred turned into action. And, you know, you probably heard he went into a mosque and he killed people. Because he went into a synagogue and killed Jewish people because he had hatred towards them. He had not been able to resolve differences of opinions, differences of worldviews. Who knows what was in his mind, but there was hatred there. It had gone too far and too long, and he became too extreme. He hadn't gone to recovery. He had let his insanity spiral. And that's exactly what the enemy wants for each of us. He wants death and destruction for all of us. That's what our enemy is pleased with. So we're taking a different path. We're looking at those bad habits, those bad thoughts that are in our lives and our hearts. We're exposing them to the Lord and asking Him to change it. The why fill-in is your Jesus Christ. Why for your Jesus Christ? So He's our higher power. And this higher power loves us. Jesus loves us right now. It's hard to measure it. They say in the Bible it's as high as the heavens are from the earth. That's how big His love is. As far as the east is from the west, that's how wide His love is. It's unfathomable. And He knows that we're broken. He knows that we relapse. He knows that we fall short. He knows that we're not living up to our potential. But He still says, "Come to Me. You know, you're My children. Just come to Me the way you are. I love you the way you are. I'll do the work in you. You know, listen to My Holy Spirit. I'm going to do this for you because I'm your higher power." So it's personal. Our higher power is very personal and approachable. In the book of Nahum in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." So tonight, you know, I just have one question to kind of ask you. Are you trusting in yourself to fix yourself? Or are you trusting in your higher power to change you? It's one or the other. Who's going to put that sanity in your life? So even when I was separated from my wife and family and I started doing amends, I had to trust that God was going to bring us back together. And He was faithful to bring us back together. If I would have taken the advice that people in my family gave me, I would be divorced. But I didn't take that advice. I just went through the troubled times and put my trust in God and grew closer to Him. So let's do a quick review. The S was for strength. We're going to rely on God's strength, and we're going to yield to what He says I should change in my life. A is for acceptance. We're going to accept that we should set small goals in our sobriety and our recovery. Accept that your sobriety is going to take time, and you might have some detours along the way. You might have some relapse. The N is for new life. Your changed life is possible. It's changed me. I'm still married. I'm, you know, I should be divorced and I should be dead, but I'm alive and I'm here. And God has made that happen. He's faithful to me. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to everybody here in this room. Your integrity is walking the talk, and with God's help, your integrity can in fact grow. T for trust, place your trust in your higher power and make that Jesus. It's never too late. And Y is your Jesus. Your higher power is here. His spirit is here because two or more people are gathered, and that's what his word teaches us. You may not feel it, but it is true. And he is the person that is here to heal you and change you. Thank you for listening.